Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, it was a sneaky good leaderboard for the golf fans out there on Sunday at Mayakoba in Paradise, where we had a back-to-back victory. Yes, that is a play on words as well. Plus everything we're tuned into, including some really good TV and movie content coming your way. And ghosts. Nothing scarier than that. And this week's guest is Diggy Moreland. You all know him from Bachelor Nation, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise. He caught the golf bug during COVID. We get into all that and everything that's going on with him. A great update interview on a cast member from Bachelor Nation coming your way, plus our football takes. And we always end with food with a Thanksgiving debate. All of it brought to you by our friends at City Bonfires. The weather is cooling, Mike. We're getting those nice crisp fall mornings here, even in Central Texas, talking lows in like the 40s and 50s. It definitely feels like fire pit weather, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. It's nice and crisp.
It's November. It's the holiday season. Why not enjoy it safely with a nice reusable portable bonfire from our friends at City Bonfire. Check out promo code COLFIRE at citybonfires.com to save 10% off any order on the website. I love this thing. It's a nice, easy to light fire that gives a little ambiance and a little light to any mood or any vibe. Stick it in your beach bag, your backpack, or just anywhere you're going when you want a little bit of bonfire in your life. Check out City Bonfires and promo code COLFIRE at citybonfires.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Tosi Snacks. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, you've driven by Mayakoba, and now we got to see another tournament at Mayakoba, the Worldwide Technology Championships, and we had a back-to-back winner in Victor Hovland.
Yeah, shout out to Victor Hovland getting it done.
Yeah, posting a total 23 under par, four shots clear of Carlos Ortiz. How's it feel to know your pick did not win?
I know, very close. I went with the Mexican in Mexico. Ironically, I just realized I'm a week early. He's defending at the Houston Open coming up this week, is Carlos Ortiz. So he's got his game in form perfectly, almost won in his home nation. But like you said, Victor Hovland was just way too much. He goes back-to-back. It's a back-to-back victory for him. And the thing that I really noted about Victor is he plays very well in the wind and when things get a little bit dicey, and he kept the pedal down to the metal and he made birdies like crazy, pulled away to, I think, a 4 or 5 shot victory. It really didn't even feel that close on Sunday. And let's just face it. It's a horses for courses type deal. He loves this venue. It's apparent.
That's true. Do you think, is it windy in Norway? Do we just not know that? Is it windy out there? Is that why he plays better?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the cold, you know, he knows the cold, he knows the brisk, the wind, you know, listen, it may have been 78 degree paradise weather there, but when the wind whips, he knows how to kind of flight the ball down accordingly. He's got all the shots and he showed them off definitely. Justin Thomas had himself a nice week as well, which is why I said it was a sneaky, nice leaderboard, Mike. I'm really enjoying this trend where some of the upper echelon players are finding these cool new venues in the fall part of the PGA Tour schedule and just giving a little more buzz to these events during football season that we would typically overlook. But seeing JT up there on the leaderboard all week definitely gave this tournament a little bit more buzz.
You know, more guys should be going to these tournaments to get a nice little week vacation in Mexico out in Cancun. I mean, why not?
It's beautiful there, Mike. I mean, basically, you just drive south from the Cancun airport and every mile on your left side, you're just seeing all these different resorts that just butt right up against the water. It's a beautiful spot. And Mayakoba is one of those gems. Brooks Koepka was there. He missed the cut, but who cares, right? Just free vacation week. Like, yeah, you shoot even par, whatever. We're in paradise. So that was neat to see. So unfortunately, Willie Mack, our friend of the show, missed the cut, but he had a lot of Instagram footage of the monkeys out there, Mike. Those monkeys, they were ravaging the course. They were stealing some bananas from the first tee snack selection I saw. So they're just absolutely ruthless out there. Monkey see, monkey do. If they find food and they want it, they're absolutely getting it out there in paradise.
Love it.
That was my main highlight, but shout out to Victor Hovland for going back to back.
Meanwhile, over on the women's circuit, Lydia Ko just really took a nice, easy victory this week.
Isn't it nice to just shoot a million under par in golf? Yeah,
it's crazy.
I have no idea what that's like. We really only know it from our days playing Tiger Woods PGA Tour aggressively back in, you know, GameCube Wii days. That's about as low as I'll ever go. I'll never touch the ground that Lydia Ko touched this past weekend in the Saudi Ladies Tournament. 23 under par, a third round 63. I just like saying these numbers and reminding you not only how dominant the top women's golfers are in the world when they really get it going, but just, you know, daydreaming of ever being 23 under in anything on a golf course. It sounds nice. So shout out to Lydia Ko for getting it done big time and just romping the field.
Just remember to all those haters out there that think that you on your best day are better than an LPGA star on their worst day. No, you're not. You're really not.
I am the typical 5 handicap bragging about his 75 on a podcast, but I can absolutely verify that any LPGA Tour pro would smoke me and they beat me 10-9 in any match play event, and it wouldn't be pretty. So shout out to Lydia Ko for getting it done again.
This coming weekend is the Hewlett-Packard Enterprise Houston Open.
Yes.
Surprises in Houston. It's in Houston, in case you didn't know.
Yes.
Not a very loaded field out there, but we still got some names worth putting out. I mean, Cam Smith is there, Sam Burns, Joaquin Niemann, Mark Leishman, Mackenzie Hughes. Like you said, Carlos Ortiz, really good week, trying to maybe win again.
Go back-to-back. How about back-to-back weeks with back-to-back champions? That would be pretty fitting.
It would be. I wonder whether Brooks Koepka will turn his game around or not. So.
Yeah, it's not far to get from, I've done the flight, honestly, from Cancun to Texas, so it's pretty close travel. Four guys in Austin who were playing at the pitch and putt here, which I thought was really cool, didn't get a chance to get out to it. Let's see, Harry Higgs, Pat Perez, those are guys in the field, Joel Damon as well, Harold Varner III's a new dad, I'm looking at him to maybe play well this week. But yeah, you mentioned Cam Smith could be a good pick as well, too. I'm very fond of a Mark Leishman pick, as you know. We'll set our final picks on Wednesday evening, as you listen to this now, on Twitter. So I'm at Course of Life 1. That's the number one. And you're at MWRINC to see who we go with this week. We have been admittedly a little bit quiet on our picks. I don't know if it's the football season has curtailed my studying habits and researching these events the way I need to be, but I'll put the extra 5 or 10 minutes in. And I think I'm going to get a winner this week in Houston. All I can tell you, Mike, is it's a city course. It's a new venue. So it's up for grabs. That's my one thought.
You know, you say you're going to get a winner this week, but let's be honest, I'm the one who's going to get a winner this week.
You do have the most recent one to my memory. So I think we've got 3 or 4 under our belt. But again, check out Twitter Wednesday evening if you're looking to follow along and pick some winners this week on the PGA Tour.
Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. I actually started watching a new TV show, not something I do very often, quite honestly, on a streaming service that is not Netflix or Hulu or Prime.
Get out of here. There's something else that exists?
There is.
Tell me.
So this is on Paramount Plus.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Also known as CBS All Access. This new show called Ghosts, if I can pronounce it correctly, Ghosts.
A week after Halloween, yes. So tell me what's going on here.
So basically, this is about a couple that inherit a rundown mansion in upstate New York. And the woman falls down a flight of stairs and as a result can see all the ghosts that inhabit this house.
This is not
a scary ghost story. This is a funny ghost story. It's pretty hilarious.
Nice. So I like that. And I'm a big fan of like the like abandoned houses and like properties that haven't been touched in a long time. I just recently saw a 60 Minutes feature on a photographer that just takes pictures of like secret abandoned properties around the world. Very fascinating stuff. So you have to figure that there's some ghosts hanging around there, right? I mean, no one's touched these places and it's freaky. You go into the bedroom, Mike, and you'll see like things like half packed, like someone packed here decades ago. Mm-hmm. You want to know the rest of the story, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So you'll get a little bit of that.
Ghosts, Paramount Plus. Very cool. Nice. That's good content to watch out for. In terms of content from us to watch out for, definitely pay attention to our Instagram this weekend. I'm going to speak a little bit cryptically, but I will tell you that there is going to be some very cool content with some people far, far cooler than you or I are or will ever be. It's going to be slightly golf related, but I'll tell you this. I'm going to be on a red carpet, Mike. So there's a lot of potential for some very familiar names that you've seen on the small screen, the silver screen, the big screen, could be showing up on our Instagram feed this weekend. So it's COL Podcast. I'm at Course of Life Alex, and you're at MWRINC, but it should be a good one this weekend. I'm looking forward
to it. I'm excited for you. I'm disappointed that I can't be there, but I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I'm making a quick little trip where I need to go to get the content done. So again, follow Instagram all weekend. You are not going to be let down. And I'm going to be starting with potentially, because air travel is just a big coin flip these days. So if air travel treats me well this weekend, I could be starting out my weekend at a very iconic venue in sports as well, too. So we'll leave the tease at that. Shout out to my journalism background for the ultimate tease there. But follow on Instagram for all the content coming your way this weekend.
So let's go ahead and get into this week's guest. Alex, you are, without a doubt, the reality TV correspondent here at Course of Life, because I could care less. Let's be upfront and honest about it. But that doesn't mean I still don't.
You're the minority right here. You're a big time in the minority, because everyone else listening is on the edge of their seat right now. So
I still get really interested, though, sometimes when we interview some of these reality TV show stars. And this week, you got to talk with Diggy Moreland from The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes. And just like a lot of people, like I mentioned at the top, he found golf during COVID, which is interesting. You know, we talked about how much the game has grown over the past couple of years and how many more people we see out at the range and courses and everywhere just getting their hands on a golf club for the first time. Diggy talks about his experience, not only obviously being on TV, we get into everything from his history on television, both Bachelor in Paradise and Bachelorette, but how he found the game and his love affair with golf in the last year or so. Really cool, all-encompassing conversation with a great guy in Diggy Moreland.
We'll get into that conversation in just a moment. But first, as always, this interview is brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, our friends of the show and the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Phone Caddy lets you strap your phone right onto the side of your golf cart so it's easy to view and use all day long. No more fumbling around the dark spaces of your golf cart, dropping your phone on the seat, or even worse, onto the grass as you drive away. The Phone Caddy keeps you locked in safely so you can stay locked into your round. It'll be the talk of your foursome, and it is the perfect Christmas gift.
Happy holidays.
It is the perfect gift to give at, you know, a Secret Santa, at whatever you're doing in your office or workplace, or even just for family. Whether they play golf or not, they need a Phone Caddy in their life. And Desert Fox has a warehouse full of them just waiting to send out to you. And what's even better is that we can save you 10% off your purchase of a Phone Caddy using the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. So you can get one in any number of colors, orange. Their new black on black is just so sexy. It is perfect. And you can even get something from the Patriotic line to show your support for a police officer, firefighter, or veteran in your life. So head on over to DesertFoxGolf.com to get your Phone Caddy. And don't forget to use that promo code COURSEOFLIFE to save 10%. Again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE at DesertFoxGolf.com.
Next up on the tee from Chicago, Illinois, we've got a TV star who you know from season 13 of The Bachelorette and two seasons of Bachelor in Paradise. He's the creator of the More Than a Tie blog, and he's caught the golf bug as well, too. We're going to talk about that and everything else he's got going on. It's Diggy Moreland joining the Course of Life. Diggy, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me. Really happy to be here.
Absolutely. Good to hear everything is going well with you in Chicago. I remember the first time you kind of came across the TV screen and how a lot of people originally knew you before they even got to know Diggy was a guy that can definitely dress himself. That man can dress. He's got style. I'm curious, was that an acquired taste for you growing up, or were you always fashion forward as a kid growing up? What's that background like?
Yeah, man. I was like, I always, as my mom, like, I'll give her full credit. I know fully that she wanted a daughter. As a matter of fact, she told me she wanted a daughter. So my mom doesn't hold any punches. But the one thing is my mom loves to dress and shop. So as a young kid, she always would take me shopping, and I used to hate it. But then it got to the point where it got like, if I was good, she would buy me stuff. And she's like, if you're good, I'll buy you this. And it turned out to buying shoes. And a lot of people now know me for, you know, collecting shoes. And then that turned into like, I like bow ties and glasses and all that stuff like that. So my mom just always dressed me. And that's kind of where the bug started.
Nice. So tell everyone a little bit about More Than a Tie. Obviously, everyone got to know you on the show specifically for the bow ties, one of your signature looks, of course, but the blog itself and kind of what you're aiming to provide, you know, with your experience and background in fashion and what you're looking to provide your readers.
Yeah. I mean, I think for the average guy, like obviously times have changed. The average guy doesn't like shopping, or it's like he has, you know, his staples like t-shirt, hoodie, or button down, and then jeans or whatever. Now people are expanding into joggers and stuff like that. Yeah. But that's what the average guy likes if they do like to shop. But I like to, my thing is like, I love that. I love helping people like, hey, I got to go do this. I don't know what to wear. I don't know what to buy. Help me. So my whole thing is there's a lot of women out there that have their fashion blogger that they like, or this person or this Instagram. I don't feel like that's really out there for guys. So what I like to do is offer like those simple tips that help me, or help that average guy that's out there that just wants to know like, hey, I got to go to this event. What should I buy? Tell me where to swipe, because I don't know where to start. So what I like to do is just write up simple tips, simple things that I like, 5 trends that I see, or easy ways to do this, or where to shop now, and just stuff like that. Those are all things that you can find on the blog.
Love that. I love the way it's presented. And I appreciate, you know, often a lot of that type of advice, it can come off as like, you know, pretentious, or this guy's, you know, trying to tell me something that I don't need to hear. But I love how concise and to the point it is. And you're right. You give off that real relaxed vibe with your tips, and it shines through in the content. Now, I got to talk about the bow ties, though, because that's not something I've quite gotten to. Mm-hmm. I've got my repertoire of ties for nice occasions. Yeah. But you're the bow tie guy, so I got to ask, bow tie for beginner. If a guy out there is looking to maybe make the first bow tie purchase, or get more into them, what do they need to know?
Oh, man. Here's the thing. Do not jump out. And like I said, everybody's different. But do not go clip-on right away. Oh, okay. Actually, I will say this. You should never have a clip-on. If you know you have a wedding, today is in almost the end of October. If you know you have a wedding in December, or you know you're going to a New Year's event that is black tie and you want to wear tux, start practicing or learning how to tie a bow tie now. Do not. I've made that mistake, or some of my friends have made that mistake. Like December 31st, we're getting dressed and they're like, all right, I got a bow tie for this event. I'm like, well, do you know how to tie one? They're like, no. And they spend an hour in the mirror trying to tie one. So it takes a while. So just know, like, if you have a bow tie that you want to wear in the future, do not wait to the day of, because you will not get it right.
Okay. I like that. So basically we gotta hit some balls in the range first before we go directly to the course when it comes to bow ties.
You don't rush up to the first tee expecting it to be perfect. Go to the driving range for about a month to practice tying that bow tie. That way when you're ready, you'll probably still slice to the right, but at least somehow it'll look nice.
That's okay. That's the tip I needed, because I wouldn't have thought to reserve that practice time. I appreciate that. All right. Again, we're talking with Diggy Moreland. Obviously, history and what you know all from him, from our listeners, are your time on Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the interesting story you have about how you kind of got to the show originally. You know, you found Bachelor in Paradise first.
Yeah.
And then realized that there's sort of a process to get to Bachelor in Paradise. Tell everyone how that worked out for you.
Yeah. So I work at a company here in Chicago. It's the average age of the company is probably about 25, 26. And a lot of my friends, whatever, a couple of them were, one's married and one just is, they're dating. They love the show. Anyway, a while ago, they come to me like, dude, you got to watch the show Bachelor in Paradise. And I'm like, why are you watching Bachelor in Paradise on a Monday during football season, Monday Night Football is on whatever. So this is back when Paradise came on Monday and Tuesday. So I was like, all right, Tuesday, I don't have anything to do. I'll watch it. And then I came and watched the Tuesday episode. And I was like, all right, this is great. And for those that know the show, this was when Ashley I was on and she was chasing after Jared. Jared didn't love her. She's crying all the time. I'm like, who's this girl? She's crying, whatever. This is amazing. I love it. And then they were like, dude, you should be on the show. And they were like, well, you have to go on The Bachelor first, or Bachelorette first, and then you get selected to go to Paradise.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, no, I'm good on that. But so anyway, the people that are directly on my team at work all range from like single as hell to like married with kids. And they were like, dude, you should go on the show. I'm like, no, I'm not going to apply for this. Literally like probably 2-3 months later, I get a call from a California number at work. And I'm like, okay, this is random. So I answer the phone and I'm like, hello. And they're like, yeah, this is Bachelor casting. This is Diggy. And I turn around and look at the rest of my team and they're all girls. And I'm like, let me call you right back. And so I turn around, I'm like, why is Bachelor casting calling me? And they all go ape shit. And so I was like, all right, fuck it. We'll just go with it. And I go into a room, call them back and just say, hey, what is it? And they just said, we love your story. You were nominated, yada, yada, yada. And they were like, we would love to have you. We would love to have you on the show. And I was like, what do I have to do? And they're like, well, we need you to create like a video and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, I don't care that much. So I won't be doing that. So this is where this ends. Thank you. They're like, well, what if we flew to Chicago to meet you? I'm like, well, okay. So they flew here. And I met with them and they were like, okay, we'll let you know about next steps. Pretty much. They were like, we want to bring you to the final round. Like, we'd like to fly you out to LA. And I'm like, I love In-N-Out Burger more than most things.
Yes, that's right. It just came to Texas where I am as well.
Dude, I had it. I was in Dallas about 2 months ago and I had it there and I was so excited because I had no idea it was there. But I'm like, all right, I'll fly to LA. At the very least, it's a free trip. I get some miles out of the deal. And I can get In-N-Out Burger. So I go out there. Literally, I'm just going through the motions, not trying hard, not trying to get like insta-famous or whatever. It's just me. And I get back to work like 3 weeks later. And they called me essentially. It's like, we want you to cast you for The Bachelorette. And when they called me and told me that, I was at work. And everybody just went crazy. So literally was not trying to be like over the top on the show or to get on the show. I was just like, hey, I'm an average dude, single, and this is it. And
they definitely went after you. That's for sure.
Like, yeah. I stumbled into now 3 shows where I was rejected on national television. So that worked.
Nice. And it's funny. Yeah. You see, you originally kind of had Bachelor in Paradise as the thought. You were on The Bachelorette. Now I'm curious, you were on Rachel Lindsay's season. She's from where I am here in Austin, Texas. Great city, great girl and whatnot. The infamous Rachel. Tell me about your time there though. You were on the show for a few weeks, kind of you knowing that you wanted to be on maybe Paradise eventually. What was your kind of level of commitment like with Rachel and kind of how far in did you get into that process? Or were you still kind of thinking about what might've been in the future for you?
Well, that's the thing. It's just like, I know we say like, oh yeah, he wanted to go on Paradise. Like Paradise is what brought me in. It was just weird because I was not one of those. I don't want people to think like, oh yeah, I'm on Bachelorette. Like I want to get here and then kick me off so I can get to Paradise. Like that wasn't my mentality. Yeah. Honestly, I think once I got there, I was open. I was definitely open for love. And I was like, all right, let's see what happens. I wasn't thinking like, I hope she doesn't pick me because I want to go to Paradise. But that process of just being thrust in front of cameras upon cameras with 30 guys and a girl and all this, like, it's very overwhelming, unless, especially for somebody who wasn't really, really familiar with the franchise like that and how it's recorded. So I get there and I was just very much so like almost a deer in headlights. And I didn't start like coming out of my shell, showing my personality until probably right before I got sent home. And I know from a Rachel standpoint, it makes it easy to send me home because it looks like, hey, this guy's not here. He's not trying or whatever. But it was more so like, I don't want to say anything that gets misconstrued. I don't want to embarrass myself on national TV, all that stuff like that. So
yeah.
By the time I got it in, I was like, all right, yeah, I can get used to this. Let's go, whatever. They're like, all right, Diggy, your limo's outside.
Perfect timing indeed. But eventually the personality did get through and it led you to be on Paradise for a couple of seasons. Your personality shined through on Paradise, but also with the other guys. Talk to me a little bit about a misconception or clarify something for me, because I always found it interesting, the dynamic between the guys in the house. From what I've heard from you, you guys are still pretty tight and have a lot of communication, but what's that like when you're all kind of vying for Rachel, but also guys bonding in the house at the same time? What was that like for you?
I mean, I think all guys are pretty like level headed. You get the guy that's obviously that's like, oh my God, I just met her and I love her and we're destined for greatness and we're going to be married and have kids and all that. But 90% of us are like, hey, I don't know her. She doesn't know me. So we're just going to take it how it is. I feel like most of the guys that were on my season were not there trying to force anything. We took it like we would any other relationship. Like, and outside of all those cameras, you don't go on a first date with a girl and be like, oh my God, we're going to get married and have a white picket fence and all this stuff. You don't do that. But you do get that one guy that goes on there like, oh my God, I love her. We're like, that wasn't the guy. So we were all pretty cool, supportive of each other. I mean, honestly, a lot of times I was tying people's ties like, hey man, I got a tie that looks better with that for tonight's rose ceremony, and you need to wear this instead of that. And
good luck.
We're helping everybody, and so all of us are still friends after that, and that's kind of why.
Very cool to hear. Diggy, let's talk about kind of life after Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise. You can spend a couple of summers on the beach, drinking at the bar with Wells, heart to hearts and all that. It was great to see you there, but now I know you got a whole other adventure of a whole other kind. Yeah. Which is fatherhood and in post-bachelor life. I see you diving headfirst into it. You post a lot of cool content surrounding your fatherhood. How's everything been for you in this last year?
Dude, it's unreal. It's one of those things like you can try to prepare, but it's just...
There's no driving range for fatherhood?
There's no driving range. That's why I will tell you. You can take all the classes you want. Everything that they tell you in those classes may or may not happen. They probably won't. But every day it's just like, my job is to keep her alive. And so far we've succeeded for 4.5 months. And that's what you do. So it's really easy. And it's really easy just to fall in love and just kind of just have somebody that's, you know, that looks up to you, doesn't know much. And every day, I mean, she just smiles at me. She's happy. I never thought I would talk in such a high-pitched voice this often, but it's been a great, a lot of sleepless nights, but it's been a great 4 months.
Awesome. Yeah. Just have her keep that innocence for as long as you can. Good stuff, man. Awesome. Let's talk about you finding the game of golf. I know we teased it a little bit, but I know you posted a lot about kind of getting into the game specifically. I did the timeline back on Instagram. It looked like things kind of got going for you right basically after the world shut down. A lot of people found golf big time in the year and a half. Had you played much before you kind of started getting into the game a lot recently?
Zero. Nice. So City of Chicago, we had this like park district thing, like you can take group lessons, and it was like group lessons for beginners and all that. And beginning of the world, the end of the world, everything closed down. And I just like, okay, what's the sport that you can do outside? It was the summer. And I was like, my summers, obviously the last few summers have been busy. And I was like, can I find time to golf? I was a business major in college, and I knew as a business major, you're going to need to go like find, you know.
Yep. Business gets done on the golf course. That's right.
Business is done on the golf course. And I never found that time. So once the world shut down, I'm like, this is perfect. So I took group lessons. I think I was the only dude in there. Took group lessons. Didn't even have a club, whatever. They give you like this one club. I think they had a 7-iron for me, whatever. And I'm telling you, I fell in love immediately. And it was so frustrating to see this 5'2" woman that has been golfing for a while outdrive me by like 150 yards. And I'm like, how is she doing this? I'm up there trying to baseball swing like the hell out of the ball. And then once you learn that technique, it gets a lot better.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm imagining you had that moment when you had that first like flushed iron on the range or that first pure shot. Describe that for maybe people who are thinking about laying their hands on a golf club for the first time. It's definitely a moment you never forget.
It's that moment of hitting the ball, like that feeling, that sound of doing exactly what is supposed to happen is unlike, I won't say anything you'll ever feel, but
close.
It's very close. But then you will quickly be humbled because your next swing will be back to being trash because you never can do it two times in a row. So just enjoy that first time because it takes a while for it to happen again. That's my advice.
Definitely. I know you're noting some of your firsts as well, too. I appreciate the grind and the progress you're making. You clipped your first par on Instagram, your first birdie as well, too. I saw. Well, what's the next milestone? What's up next? Do we have a score that we're chasing in mind? What's the next step for you in the golf game?
I'm trying to get my first eagle. And I'm trying to break 90. Those are my next two milestones. I think we can eventually get there. Living in Chicago, we are running out of time. I golfed actually yesterday. I think we have maybe 1 week left before I have to shut it down and go indoors. But milestones on deck, looking for an eagle and looking for breaking 90. That's
my goal. I love that. I will say I broke 90 and I think I broke 80 before I ever made an eagle too. So I think the 90s come first for you. That's my guess.
Essentially just told me I'm really, really horrible at golf.
You're going to get there pretty fast. The swing's looking good. Definitely. Make sure everyone follows Diggy Moreland and More Than a Tie as well, too. I wanted to talk about Southwest Florida golf because I saw you got to play some courses in like the Fort Myers area and whatnot. How was that to kind of get away to like a tropical destination, take your game there?
Oh, it was great. I was down there for some work and I got a chance to go. And it's just unreal that they literally have that 365 days out of the year. And it just made for like a really awesome experience. I stumbled upon a par three course, which I did not know was a par three course. And literally everybody in there was over 75.
Yes.
And what they do is they play that course every day. So they knew I was not like from there. They're like, oh, you must be new around here. I'm like, how do you guys know that? One, because I was under 35, and two, yes, because they literally play that course every day at 7 a.m. And so, yeah.
But yeah, they know the back of their hand, those guys.
They know the back of their hand. They know the bartender. They know the cart girl, all that stuff. So yeah, Southwest Golf, Southwest Florida with golf was amazing. Definitely going to try to get back as much as I can.
Definitely. And next time you get back there too, I just went to a real cool place. We interviewed one of the managers there called Pop Stroke, Tiger Woods and his team. They designed like a professionally laid out mini golf venue. It's got a bar, a restaurant, 36 holes of mini golf. So next time you're down in Southwest Florida, I want you to hit up Pop Stroke and let me know what you think.
I'm writing that down.
Yep. They're expanding a lot, but you'll see them down there when you're in Florida for sure. Is Diggy Moreland joining us again, morethanatie.com. Let's do a few rapid fire questions before we sign off. First off, Bachelor franchise. Let's talk about, give me a best dressed and maybe you don't have to say worst dressed or maybe who needed the most help on your season in the mansion.
Best dressed of my season besides me, I would say Peter Krause. Peter Krause. He was the runner up. He, definitely gave me a run for my money. So yeah, Peter Krause for sure. You know what? I'll go out and say it. Worst dress, Josiah. Man, ties were super long. But he's a really good dude, funny dude. For what he lacked in his ability to dress, he was that funny. He was hilarious. So I would say Josiah is probably the guy that needed a little bit of help.
Good memories there. And my wife's from the Midwest. She was definitely rooting for you and Peter as well, too. She came up short just in the end. But it was great having you on that season. I see one thing you also rock as well, too. Obviously, allegiance to Illinois. I saw some U of I gear on your bag. Are you more a football, basketball fan? What's your affiliation with the school?
I cannot affiliate us as a football school because we'll win the first two games and then we'll lose the next nine.
Yeah, so, they're a frustrating team, especially this year too. A lot of ups and downs there.
It's weird because when I was graduating, we actually went to the Rose Bowl and then it's been downhill ever since. But basketball for sure. Definitely a basketball school. So yeah, during basketball season, it gets really exciting to follow them.
Nice. I'm planning to get back to Chicago real soon. Let's have you do the power rank though, with the big three. Obviously, when we're talking Chicago food, it's Italian beef, it's Chicago dog, or it's pizza. Some people say deep dish. Some people say there's other Chicago pizza as well. But between those three foods, where do you rank those?
Here's the thing. I probably will get kicked out of the city, but I don't care. I am not a deep dish person. I love thin crust pizza. So if I had to choose, deep dish for me is going to go last. I love Italian beef. So that's number one for me. And then you can, you know, obviously number
two. Throw the Chicago dog in the middle.
Yeah, okay. It's Chicago cool. dog.
Love that. Hey, Diggy, thank you so much for hopping on Course of Life again. Looking forward to seeing more of the content from More Than a Tie, and keep us track on the golf game too. I love following the progress, and we're going to hit those milestones real soon. Hit them straight, all right?
Hey, thanks, Alex. I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for having me. And I'm going to try to get on the course and break 90 like tomorrow. If I can.
We'll do. Best of luck out there.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
And we're back. Great chat there with Diggy Moreland. Love his analogy about wearing a bow tie. Bow ties are cool, man. Bow ties are cool.
I thought you would like that question. Yeah. Yes. I was stumbling through exactly what I wanted to ask Diggy. I was like, oh yeah, he's the bow tie guy. So my friend and co-host is also the bow tie guy in my life as well too. So a couple of bow tie guys there. And like you said, practice makes perfect. You can't just step up to the first tee of a golf course, Mike, without ever hitting any balls in the range. So I like that analogy. Practice makes perfect with everything, fashion, life. And it was really cool to get those updates from Diggy. Definitely plan to have him on again. Maybe we'll bump heads in Chicago as well when I see him, and enjoy following his progress in the game of golf as well.
And if you like that interview plus everything else we do here on this podcast, you know, give us a rating, hit that subscribe button, share this episode with a friend.
Yes, thank you.
And, you know, it's that time of year when giving is important to those in need, and everyone needs to hear this podcast. And while you're giving, you should also give to the First Tee, because they always could use a little extra to give some amazing like experiences that to kids.
Yeah. Shout out to our friends at the First Tee. For all those maybe Bachelor Nation fans who are listening for the first time, we've got another guest from the show and this season's episode as well too, that has a really cool sports and golf connection coming on next week's Course of Life. So subscribe and tune in. There'll be a lot more great conversations like the one you just heard.
Let's talk a little football. Alex, I'm not betting with your picks anymore. I'm sorry. I'm done.
I am cursed on Saturdays. I don't know what it is. You know, for everyone who follows along, I throw picks up on Twitter, just like golf, college football. I've had great luck betting these random Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday night college football games. But when the chips are down and it's Saturday morning and people want to sink their couch for the weekend and lock into some picks, I have not delivered as promised. Overall, I'm around 53-54%, but that's really because of those weekday games. Another cruddy Saturday, going 4-6, still stuck in neutral, really is just the theme with college. And really, from what you've seen, Mike, like I said, it's still a little bit of mix up. We don't know exactly what the playoffs going to look like. We are desperately hoping it's not the same teams. I still have that eerie feeling like it might be.
But
a lot to uncover in the next month.
It will be indeed. Meanwhile, over on the professional circuit, hey, we got wins this week, both of us.
We're making it happen right now. This is the second double win podcast here.
We win together and lose together.
Yes, so. You're only two wins away from the Patriots, ironically. 5-4 Pats now. Got another win in Charlotte against the Panthers. Cleveland Browns up next. That's an interesting match up. Mac Jones, decent game, looked a little sloppy though, still kind of making the rookie mistakes. That's okay. We take it one game at a time, and a win is a win. So I'm not complaining there. And you, Mike, you guys just won with defense. Maybe you just don't need a quarterback or an offense if you just pick six the opposing quarterback all the time. That could be the strategy.
No, we still need a quarterback and an offense.
Yes. You do need points on both sides of the ball, but it was good to see the D step up, I guess.
Defense wins championships. Offense wins games.
Yes, fair enough. You've only won 3 out of 9 so far, but nonetheless, yeah. a double win Sunday for us. Mm, we do yes. have to get to the big story that came out of this past week in the NFL. There were some really bad ones that we don't even want to discuss, but the one that hit pop politics home for us was regarding everyone's favorite controversial quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who's thrown himself back into the limelight for his questionable status. Regarding his COVID vaccine and a positive test that's now basically keeping him away from the field.
You know, Aaron Rodgers said he'd be willing to go host Jeopardy and leave the NFL behind. And unfortunately, I think that avenue is now closed to him. So he's going to have to figure something else out to do with his life.
Yes, burn. I didn't even think you'd come back to the Jeopardy thing. Mm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so that opportunity's gone as well, too. Yes. For those who are living under a rock, Aaron Rodgers said he was, quote, immunized a couple months ago when kind of confronted by a horde of reporters. That meant he was not vaccinated. He's got his own little treatment that he's doing on the back end. It was quite an interesting, snivelly little move to kind of lie in the moment about his status. Not an ideal move from a PR perspective. Yeah. And he's definitely taking the flack of it right now from a lot of people.
Can I say this? He supposedly got a lot of his information and from a medical professional known as the most popular podcast host in the world, yes. Joe Rogan. I'm going to say it, hot take right now. Joe Rogan needs to shut up and sit down.
Wait, are you saying that Joe Rogan's not a medical professional?
I'm saying that Joe Rogan has a lot of controversial opinions that I do not agree with.
I think one of them we can agree with is that Joe Rogan is not a medical professional. No. So that is unfortunately where Aaron Rodgers is soliciting some of his advice. We'll see if he starts testing negative in a week or two, or else it's Jordan Love for the foreseeable future as the quarterback of the Packers. But that was the storyline that definitely struck the NFL big time this past week.
I saw a great stat the other day that was let the Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers score less points than the last two teams. Like when they got 0 wins in their season.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So
that shows you how much they'll be missing him for sure. Jeez. Yeah. Well, the time is left to tell the rest of the story on his future with COVID here in the NFL season as we get in November.
It is indeed. Let's talk about something that also has a political flair to it, but we're going to avoid the politics and just say that, hey, the Atlanta Braves beat those cheating Astros who are just going to continue to have that on their legacy as cheaters because they're cheaters. But more importantly, the Atlanta Braves won the World Series.
That was nice to see. You know, the Braves, they've had that hanging over their head for a while. The whole city of Atlanta, too. Now, let's not forget 28-3 with the Falcons here. This city's had a lot of bad goes in the sporting event world in the last 5-10 years. So good to see them rust that jinx off them. What, 26, 6, 7 years, 95 since they last won a World Series. So feeling like 95 again there in Atlanta. The thing that I appreciate the most, Mike, is it's been a while for a championship in that city because the bus parade, the buses were going about 35 miles an hour down the streets of Atlanta.
Screaming
through the city. Unfortunately, they don't know the etiquette. You're able to actually slow down a little bit more and savor the moment. That's actually how those parades work. I'm just so used to it at this point.
You've obviously also never driven through Atlanta where you need to be going like 50 over the speed limit. Otherwise, you're getting driven off the road here.
Even
so.
If you're celebrating a world championship, put the pedal to the metal again. All right, let's go. Speed it up. Right?
Which also is completely counterintuitive to what you think about in the South, because you think about the South people taking their time, being, sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair, sipping sweet tea. So,
and you and I know, but then you get into the city, though.
Then you get into the city
in the South.
Totally different. Also, let's touch real quick, because it's that time of the year again, on our alma mater, the Quinnipiac University Bobcats, number 5 ranked in college men's hockey after a 5-game unbeaten streak. And we opened up ECAC conference play this weekend with 2 shutouts. So go Bobcats.
Love that. And breaking news, I'm dragging my wife to our alma mater for the first time in 11 years since I left the state of Connecticut. So I'm making the return trip in December when we go back and visit the family. So I'm going to have to start compiling my itinerary for all the Hamden, Connecticut stops. We'll have to put that list together off recording here, but that's going to be a big one.
All right, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, that's right. Brought to you by our friends at Toasty Bites. They make the Toasty Super Bites. And how about these little Pop Bites, Mike? Have you seen this new little snack size? Throw it in down in one bite. I love that. Dark chocolate, cashew, coconut, almond, blueberry, PB&J. They got all sorts of great flavors, and it's a nice, healthy, on-the-go snack. Again, check out toasty.com/COL, promo code COL20 for 20% off. Let's see, Mike, I'm going to let you lead the way because I know you teased the idea that you were going to be setting up a birthday weekend for your wife on previous podcasts. How did that all go with the dessert you made as well?
So I made a birthday cake babka.
Very colorful, too, at that.
Yes. Sprinkles, cream cheese in the middle there. Nice little crumb topping on top. It was very, very good. It was excellent. And then her parents were in town for the weekend as well. So we actually on her birthday night went to Starland Yard here in Savannah Food Truck Park. Had some great food truck greasy eats as well. It's all around great, great weekend celebrating her birthday.
Nice. Yeah. And shout out to the Always End With Food pod where you can always hear us talk full time food. I went and visited our buddy Wes Dills at the Bearded Baking Company and that food truck here in Austin. Finally got to try that Kodiak sandwich, which we talked about. Check out Instagram for that photo as well, too. But we got to hop into a quick debate here because we are 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving. And yes, you know, we love ourselves a good food map. We're a sucker for a food map here on the Course of Life and Always End With Food. The map came out, Mike, the annual Thanksgiving side dish map by state. I sent it your way. The main highlights being mashed potato, the winner again, 9 states picking mashed potato as their favorite Thanksgiving side. Mac and cheese with a noticeable absence this year. What were your early reactions to the Thanksgiving side dish map?
I continue to disagree with the state I currently reside in. Collard greens, I'm just not a fan.
You're in Georgia now. Collard greens are huge in the South.
How do you feel about creamed corn being your state of Texas right now?
You know, it's funny. It's not my number one side. However, I go to a Friendsgiving every single year, and I'm required to make my creamed corn because it comes in such high demand.
Oh, wow.
So I make cream corn every Thanksgiving. So that's a very fitting list for me now being a Texan myself. Let's see where I'm originally from. Yeah, Massachusetts, more mashed potatoes there as well too. Shout out to New Mexico for the side salad. What an absolutely horrible pick for a Thanksgiving side dish. Are you kidding me with that? That's bad.
I mean, it's interesting. Other interesting call outs here. Stuffed mushrooms in Alaska.
Yep. I'm debating maybe doing those as like an early day app. Not a Thanksgiving side dish though. That's an early day app. You eat way before the dinner.
Yeah. There's also a charcuterie tray on two states here.
Yeah, you know what that is, Mike? That's just because people in Minnesota love to say charcuterie, you know? They love the way it sounds with that accent. That makes too much sense. So that's a fitting one right there. That was the Thanksgiving side map. We'll throw that up on COL podcast. We can throw that up on Always End With Food pod as well too. If you want to hear more food content, check in there. That's a wrap on this week's episode. We'll see you all next week.